We're looking at Matthew 24, this section, which comes in a speech by Jesus to his 12 disciples. And the subject is about judgment. He talks and predicts about the destruction of Jerusalem in the disciples' lifetime. And he also predicts that he will come again to judge all the peoples of this earth. And he says this 2 days before he was crucified. And he says this speech after a number of fruitless and frustrating conversations with Jews who were out to get him. But if we look down at verse 36, let's get into the passage. It says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Jesus is saying that day, unlike the one about Jerusalem, no one knows about it when it's coming. No human being knows about it. No angelic being in the heavens knows about it. Not even Jesus, only the Father. And that might explain why in our offices and in our conversations with friends, this subject of judgment day is so rarely heard. If you look again at verse 37, he describes, Jesus, what this great judgment day will be like. "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." The day of judgment will be a severe day. And it will take away people who don't fear God. And it will take people when they least expect it. And Jesus goes on more in verse 38. "For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." People were eating, drinking, marrying, having a good time, laughing. And then, whoosh, the flood came and took them away, suddenly and severely. Can we picture in our minds then how the day of the Son of Man will be? Can we picture friends, colleagues and relations who are doing really well in life, but they just have no time for Jesus. They see no need for him. And Judge Jesus will come to judge, just as it was in the days of Noah at the time of the flood. And given his description, it might well be as someone's raising the glass to the happy couple, or maybe in the middle of a hilarious speech by the best man, or maybe as someone celebrates getting a birdie on the 8th with 4 recently retired friends. However it's going to happen, Jesus says it will happen one day, and those who don't fear God will be separated from those who do and never seen again. It's a stark picture. And in verse 40, Jesus takes us deeper into it. Please look down at verse 40. "Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and one left." It's going to be a seriously surreal day when he comes this second time. And if we're here for the first time perhaps and we've never heard about this judgment day, the Bible says it will happen. And it will be a terrible day for some. And if it's something you've never heard about, please do ask a Christian later about this news. But verse 42 takes us to the punchline of Jesus' speech. And I don't know how you were expecting him to sort of get his punchline. When I was preparing, I was sure he was going to say to his disciples, "And so warn people, warn people." But he doesn't. Look what he says in verse 42. "Therefore keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come." I put a heading here. Our first heading is, keep a very close eye on our spiritual state. You think he would say, warn those you don't know. And Jesus says to disciples, keep watch. Keep watch on your spiritual state, so that you don't find yourself one day saying, "Oh, I don't need Jesus. I don't need him." Because at that day, Jesus will return and take away those who have no fear of God. So we need to ask ourselves today in this brief half hour, are we checking our hearts, our spiritual state today? Are we trusting in Jesus and relying on him and knowing our need for him, knowing without him we have no hope? And if Jesus was warning his disciples to keep a check on their hearts, how much more for us? So it's right for us to do a sort of spiritual assessment, an MOT on our hearts. Because we may be in danger of things that are making us forget that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought of a number here, 4. Four things that may be causing us to forget that we need Jesus. It might be the anxieties of life. They're taking up our mind. The interest rate rise has just taken us a bit by shock and it has put us in a spin. It might be because we're in a crowd at work who we really enjoy their company, but the influence on them is such that we're just wishing we weren't having to say we were a Christian and we're wanting to deny Jesus. It may be because a great sadness has come into our life, that we are undergoing grief, and it's made us just drift away from the Lord in our sadness, and we've come to a point where we feel we don't need him or other Christians. And it may be because we're just so busy. We're keen Christians, but we go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. And actually, the truth be told, we've not had a quiet moment with the Lord recently where we've said, I need you, and I admit the state of my heart, and I'm thankful for your forgiveness and your transforming power. And there may be some people here saying, yeah, I realize there's a danger of going cold. Don't worry, you don't need to preach this to me. But Jesus goes on in verse 43 to just that sort of attitude. Please look at it. Verse 43. He says, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I'm sure the owner of the house was checking the locks regularly. I'm sure he was going around his house looking for evil in case they were going to break in. But the one time that he didn't, that was when the thief came in. Jesus is saying we must keep an extremely close eye on the spiritual state of our hearts. But then he moves on in the sort of second section. I put it here. As we wait, serve and support other Christians. We may be wondering, okay, so I have to wait for this judgment day. I need to keep a close spiritual eye on my heart. But what am I to do while I wait? Well, who is a wise Christian today and until Jesus returns? Well, he helpfully, Jesus, gives us two portraits. One of a servant who does what his master commands, and a portrait of someone who doesn't do what his master commands. Please look at 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. If we wish to know what it means to be a good servant, we have a great model in this servant. He did what the master had commanded him to do. And he did it when the master was away. And no doubt in your offices, it's easier to spot the heart of a worker by how they treat their work when the boss is out of the office. Well, the task for us as Christians today is to serve and support Christians. And that's a great sort of task to think about. I was thinking we can look at that aspect of serving other Christians on a sort of macro level and a micro level. On a micro level, it could be this half-hour lunch that we have today, this speech and lunch. How can we serve one another? Some people might be in a really bad state, and it would be a lovely question to say, are you still relying on the Lord Jesus? And when we ask it, to mean it, and to be ready to wait, and to listen to the response, and then help as we can. That person may need a real comforting arm, a comforting verse, an encouragement. But equally, that person may well need a rebuke, a correction. Secondly, Jago and Charmaine organize these breakfast Bible studies. I hear great things about them. Given the warning Jesus has told us about the state of our hearts, if we don't go, perhaps it's time to think, maybe I should go. And maybe if we are already going, maybe we've become a bit of a passenger in the last few weeks and months. Maybe think beforehand when we go of a verse that we might be able to encourage somebody according to their needs. And as we go in a few moments back to our offices, let's think about Christians who go back probably shuddering a bit because they know they're the only Christian there. Let's think how we could actually help them, support them and serve them. If you have a few moments, meet someone you don't know, find out if they're a Christian and how you can support them. It may be just a quick email, just to encourage them, say they're not forgotten. But it might be a quick phone call tonight, just before we sit down for supper. But then on the macro level, thinking how we could serve the church. And Christians are not just those in our offices or in All Souls Church or in our local church, but the worldwide church. Have we ever considered, if we've got professional qualifications, of going abroad and using them there, where you might be able to support and serve Christians out there? But also, and something close to my heart, have we ever considered of writing a Christmas letter to a Christian somewhere in the world unknown to us? We'd have to know him to be able to write to him, but a Christian in a prison for his faith, who's finding it hard to keep saying he needs the Lord Jesus and believe in him. Maybe we could write them a letter. And I know that Christian Solidarity Worldwide do a great little pamphlet at time of Christmas. And the amazing news is in verse 47, as we serve Jesus, we have a promise of reward. Not only are we freely forgiven, but then as we serve as forgiven people, Jesus says he will reward us for our service. Verse 47 says, I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But by contrast, as we near the end, we do have this picture of the wicked servant. It's a severe warning from the Lord Jesus Christ to people who claim they're Christians, who like the name Christian, but by their actions, they show they have no connection really with him. Please look at verse 48. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. These so-called Christians are people who spend their time not serving or supporting other Christians, but doing their best to discourage them, belittle them, and make their lives hard. And in their social lives, it's very difficult to differentiate them from someone or the crowd who do not fear God. Jesus says when he returns, those people will face a fearsome judgment. They'll be cut up and shown to be the hypocrites they truly are. And they'll be placed with people who are weeping and weeping because of the punishment they're receiving. And they'll be among those who grind their teeth in stubborn refusal for the punishment that they are receiving. And if that's a picture of us, then be sure that Jesus really will carry out justice when he returns, according to each of us. So as we conclude, let's remember the force of this passage. Jesus has given us a sober message today. We need to think of ways to keep a very close eye on our spiritual state. Maybe spend a few moments in silence after my finishing prayer just to think how I can keep a close eye on my spiritual state. But also, let's think of ways to serve and support other Christians deliberately and seriously. Let's pray together. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day our Lord will come. Father, thank you for that great day when you will execute justice on this world. Thank you so much for sending a Saviour ahead of time to save your people. In your great mercy, please would you cause us to know our need for your Son once again in a very real way. And not just now, but day by day and year by year. And please, Father, would you inspire us with ideas how to serve and support other Christians. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen.